Hi everyone, welcome to episode 22 of Tea in the Treetops podcast. I'm Angela.
And I'm Philippa, and this is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog.
Today's Wednesday, March the 4th, and today we're going to be talking about YA, who reads YA and why do they read the genre YA. And we're also just going to talk about what we've been reading.
All right, so we're going to get started with today's topic, which is YA as a genre, and why is it that adults read YA?
Yeah, why read young adult fiction? We've been reading YA fiction for all our lives, pretty much a long time.
I've been reading YA fiction before I even knew that it was YA fiction.
Yep.
I didn't realise the Cassandra Clare series was YA. I didn't even know that was a market until after I'd read that.
I think it's only sort of been fairly, like, in the last 10 years or so that people really started bringing out books directed at what is called YA market. I mean, the reason that we're talking about this mainly is that there was an article came out in The Guardian called Why Are There So Many Adults Reading YA and Teen Fiction? And they basically say that a survey showed that 55% of YA readers are actually adults.
Which doesn't surprise me, but it seems to every time it's brought up in the media be a really shocking and, newsworthy statistic. I don't know why.
I don't really understand why it's a shameful thing to want to read a young people book. Like, I mean,
I think there's a belief that when you become an adult, you shouldn't be interested in young people things. You should be interested in only adult things.
Yeah,
which to me is a very boring and pigeonholing way of living your life, but I think that's why it seems shocking. I think a lot of people are embarrassed to admit that they like things that are childish.
Proper literature.
Yes, it's like I've always enjoyed kids' movies too. I've gone to all the Pixars in the cinema. I went to Toy Story when it first came out of the cinema, but I know I have quite a few friends that are like, oh, I don't like these sorts of movies, and I'm just thinking to myself, I bet you haven't watched a movie from Pixar, because I think it's a pretty, universally love type thing.
Well, I noticed on Scott Westerfeld's blog, he has an article talking about YA as a genre, meaning that it's books that are written about young adults or teenagers and their issues, rather than being marketed towards teenagers.
And I think
as a reading age group.
I think that's a really important point, because I think there is just a lot of lingo, and I think YA is just probably publishing lingo, which means, a book's written about, like, from a teenager's perspective, well, then that's going to get popped in the young adult section of, a bookstore or the library. And I think you're right. I think Scott Westerfeld is right. I think that's really all it's about.
Yep.
Not so much that it's been marketed to YA.
Yeah.
It's not that vertical market.
And I think people don't realise that you don't have to, just because it's written about a teenager and it might have some coming-of-age type subject material, that it doesn't, it can be a great story. Like, they don't
That's
they
right.
think it's going to be simple, it's not going to be much to it, but in fact there's a lot of YA literature which is actually really awesomely written. So we asked
our Twitter.
We asked Facebook.
It was brought up on one of our Facebook Aussie bloggers pages.
Yep.
Why people enjoyed YA so much, and there were some really good comments from some other bloggers and YA readers.
Yep. So we had a lot of people saying that that they like the sort of more teenage themes in it.
I really think that teenagers seem to be allowed to get away with a lot more. It's such an emotion-ridden, sort of exciting, drama-filled time of life.
Yeah.
I don't know. Things that were a big deal to me in high school, probably I wouldn't blink twice about it if it happened today, if that makes sense. But when you're in that sort of awkward, hormone-filled rush, all it takes is one little thing and all of a sudden you've got tension and drama, which is a perfect novel.
Yep, exactly. And also it's worth saying that there's such a huge range of different types YA books as well. There's, like, not only sort of the fantasy sci-fi ones that we like to read, but going into the more contemporary ones as well. So, I mean, I don't particularly like to read high school drama type stories, but they are still classified in the YA bucket, obviously. And so there's something for everybody within the kind of broader genre anyway.
Mm-hmm. So I'll read you out a couple of these things that were mentioned on Facebook. Unfortunately, yeah. I think both of these ladies are bloggers, but because it's through Facebook, we can't easily see what blog they're from. One of them was, I had a pretty shocking teenagehood. I write YA and I love reading the kind of YA that's modern but sort of reflects the classics I used to read about bullying and peer pressure, such as Judy Blume, Caroline B. Cooney, etc. So right now I'm on a big Jenny Han, Siobhan Vivian kick. It's funny to see how little has changed. I think girls need to read about high school drama the way men need to read about wars. So that's one take on it.
Yep.
This is another one from Nicole. I find that in many cases the characters are more real and open without the pretense that many adult books are characterised by. I also think it's fairly meaningless to classify books in such a way. Jane Austen's books would be YA or NA and yet are generally thought to be adult literature. Little Women and Anne of Green Gables would be YA today, but have been enjoyed by adult readers for years without any negative judgments. And I think that's really true. I think there's definitely a lot of classic literature books out there that actually would be marketed as YA had they been written today.
Yep, that's right. And we also had other comments on Twitter included, characters aren't bounded by adulthood. They can explore their coming of age, you know, issues, human issues without making them seem immature, like sex, the sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of diversity in young points of view. So there's a lot of different characters in of every sort within the YA genre. Yeah. So thank you very much from, I think it's Mia who looks after the K&A podcast, Khaleesi's and Amazon's podcast, Twitter. Thank you very much for all your replies. That's awesome. And I think our friend Jadia also wrote that you get the same fantasy. Well, she loves to read fantasy as well, but she particularly likes YA books because they're usually an easier read.
I still agree.
Get the epic scale a lot of the time, yep. But they're a bit easier to read.
I completely agree. There's less pages. Because, I mean, I love a good fantasy book too, but I just don't have time to read a 1,000-page Robert Jordan novel or whatever happens. Or George R.R. Martin. I just don't really have the time to invest in that sort of long book when I could read four or five YA books sort of in the same time frame.
Exactly.
Another thing that's maybe a little bit deep and a little bit change of idea for the same topic is, you know, I think also there's a bit of a look down on adults reading YA because I actually think that in a lot of Western cultures, especially American, Australian, UK culture, we don't see teenagers in a very good light. In other European cultures, teenagers and love are considered quite serious. Like in Holland, it's considered completely embraced by your parents if you fall in love as a teenager. They see that as a very serious relationship. Mm-hmm. Sex is always going to be a part of it. There's no question about it. Okay. They have a very different take on how they take teenagers seriously. Well, I think, you know, if you were your local 13, 14-year-old in Australia or in the US and you went home to mum and dad and said, Mum, I'm in love, I think you just get sort of this nod as if to say, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah,
like, let's be real here. You're only, you know, a baby still.
Yep,
and I think that's part of it too. I think perhaps we belittle or downplay the relevance of emotions in teenagers. Something to think about and ponder.
And it's funny because there's such a huge range of sort of subject material in YA. A lot of the time we think that we'd want to keep our children away from some of these stories because such horrible things happen in them. But really, they're just things that go on in life. I mean, not always. I mean, something like The Hunger Games, that's hopefully never going to happen in real life. But
well, the whole idea of dystopian premise is taking sort of a version of society and making it quite out there and but controlling.
What I'm getting at is that a lot of the issues that are faced by the characters in YA novels are issues that you yourself will go through, maybe not even when you're a teenager, like at some point in your life
you can see relevance in them. Is that what you're trying to say? You can see
It applies to real life, even if it's in like a fantasy setting.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was talking about it at the Writers Festival that said that, I can't remember who it was, but he said that we come of age like over and over again throughout our lives.
Yeah.
Like not just when we're teenagers or, you know, young adults, but throughout our lives we have
when you become
moments
parents,
when you, you become, yeah, you change, you know, your life changes.
Yes,
you learn exactly stuff about right. yourself. So it makes sense that we would see things that we relate to in book, in well, mm-hmm. in any book, I suppose, but in these coming of age books especially. So
but that's what I've always loved about, I think, science fiction, fantasy and dystopian. It's a very safe way to be able to reflect on and look at how things could be and how you would cope with such things in a very extreme environment and setting that you probably won't ever experience in life. But it doesn't mean it shouldn't be explored. Mm. I think that's one of the reasons I'm very anti... word anti's not letting people see it, anti taking them off the shelves,
censorship.
Why I'm anti censorship, because I think while it might seem extreme or why you might think it's not appropriate for teens to read, doesn't mean it shouldn't be explored, doesn't mean it shouldn't exist out there, because just because you don't think it's relevant doesn't mean it's not actually going to be useful for somebody else.
Yep, absolutely. So please tell us why you like to read YA. Send us an email or leave a comment on our post and let us know your thoughts about this. We'd love to hear it. It's been a bit of a rambling kind of discussion about it, but
it's late afternoon.
That's how we're feeling at the moment.
We probably both need a coffee.
Yeah. Okay, so we don't have a joint review today, but we might move on to we might do that next week.
Yep.
So let's just talk about, do you want to tell us what you've been reading recently.
Sure. So I will first off start by saying I did end up finishing Monstrous. I decided to stick with it after did our discussion and review of it last podcast. And I am glad that I did. I can't say it's my favourite book, but it did get better. I don't know if I thought it was a very good ending. I thought it was perhaps a bit of a cop-out, but it was interesting. So
it was
I'm glad I persevered.
Ending.
Yes.
Wasn't it? It just sort of ended. That was...
Yes. And it's definitely, I think, a standalone.
Yes.
Yeah. So for anyone that was in the same spot as me, which wasn't sure if you should continue or not, I will just put it out there that I'm glad that I did finish it.
Mm-hmm.
I've also read a couple of other books. I've read Soul Print by Megan Miranda, which I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. It's had some pretty wishy-washy feedback. Some people have either loved it, some people have been a bit like, meh. I'm not so for it.
Mm.
I thought the premise of it was really, really interesting, which was that you could be basically penalized in your current life for things that your soul did in a previous life, in a previous body. So even though you don't really take, in this particular version of the world, they haven't finished all the studies, it's still new, you know, a new area of research, but they don't believe that you really take over much, like you can't remember what you did in the previous life, but certain dispositions do carry over. So if you were extremely violent and were put in prison, there's a much higher percentage that you're going to do it again in your next life. So everybody basically gets tested. You can find out when you're 18 if you you know, who you were in a past life, of which a lot of people choose to do it and a lot of people choose not to. You can even leave in your will things for your next soul if you want to.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
So, and the only way that you can, you know, and it definitely is just for your soul because it's done by lumbar puncture and there's no way of being able to, you know, there's no fraudulence in the system, basically. Basically, the real question in this is, should you be penalised for something that you did in a past life?
Okay,
that's the problem for the main character. She's basically been not imprisoned, but you might as well be imprisoned for her life. They say it's for her safety because she did some really terrible, terrible things.
Oh, wow.
Terrible, terrible things, not like rape, murder and plunder or anything like that. Just in her past life, she was a big activist regarding getting information out to the public about who is who from past life. So if you were a criminal or you were severely violent and a mass murderer in a past life, she felt that everyone should know who these people are so that they could be safe. It kind of reminds me a little bit of things that happen in today's society, whereas if you are a child molester, you get put on a watch list, basically. But the public isn't allowed to know, so I don't know if it's like this in the US. But in Australia, there's a lot of petitions about being allowed to know that you're living down the street from a previous ex-child molester.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
So I'm not going to say whether or not I think that's right or wrong, but that's kind of what this book is really investigating. And I think that's basically what it's trying to explore, your morality rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked it. I thought it was full of action. It was basically like it was like The Fugitive in a YA setting.
Okay.
With souls. It was great. I loved it. I would definitely recommend reading it. And then the other book that I read was our book club book for the month, which was The Husband's Secret by Leanne Moriarty. Now, I never read Leanne Moriarty before we did her previous book for book club, which was Big Little Lies. Yeah. I just love her books. I love her writing. I just find it fantastic. She's an Australian author. I don't know if she's very big overseas, but I just can't get enough of her. I think I'm going to have to read her other books as well. There is just something very witty and snappy, and it's just easy to read. And I was hooked on this book from literally the first page. And I was like, open the letter, goddammit, open the letter. Anyway, if you haven't heard of her,
I should have read it.
Find her books and read it. I read it in like 24 hours. Looking after children. They weren't even daycare days. I was sitting there making lunches, reading it. You know, it was just a fantastic book. So what have you read recently?
I've read a few things this week, actually. They've all ended up being quite short in the end. Mm-hmm. But apart from Shadow Scale, I read Shadow Scale by Rachel Hartman, which is the second Serafina book.
And you'd finished Serafina. Reread Serafina the last podcast.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually really long. It's like over 600 pages, so it took me a while. And not just because it was long. Also, I was really busy that week, so I didn't sort of get as much time to read.
And I think you said that it's a duology.
Yeah, it gets to the end. I just assumed there was going to be a third book, and I was getting too close to the end thinking, it's really kind of ending. And it was the end. I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that because it was so long, there was a possibility that she could have actually split it into two books.
But she decided
to keep it in one, which is good, because I think it wasn't very, like, the first part of it was quite slow anyway, and I think the middle book would have been pretty boring, because there's a lot of travelling in it, because she travels to, like, the other countries in the southern lands there, and... But it was great. Like, I really enjoyed it. Especially further towards the end, it got a lot better. Because, as I said, it was a bit slow at the start.
Yep.
I didn't love it as much as I liked the first one. Because the first one was such a different world and everything was so well sort of described and everything in this new world. But the second one, obviously, is still in that world, so it's not so new anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it was exciting. The end of it was really good. So
yep.
I recommend... getting that one.
It really did strike me, or when I read Serafina, I was like, you know what, while it might be a YA fantasy, it almost had that feel towards a standard fantasy book. I don't know what about it, but it just was deep, like the depth of it was actually a little bit more like normal fantasy.
Proper world building
kind of
thing.
That's right.
I think we're going to do a joint review of this.
Yes, I've got to read that. That's on my up and coming list.
I won't mention any more about it now, but I hope you enjoy reading it.
Okay.
And the other one we might do a joint review on is Fairest by Marissa Meyer.
So jealous you've read this.
Well,
so
it's
jealous.
Quite short. It's only like 200 pages, like 250 pages, I think. And so I read it in one day because I picked it up and just flew through it.
So don't spoil it, but just tell me, is it as good as the other books in the series?
Well, it's different because it's a villain story. So it's about Levana and what happens with her.
But does she start off being a villain? Or did she turn into a villain? Is it this the road to badness, or was she always a bad egg?
I don't want to say anymore because you're going to read it, and I want to hear what you think of it.
Yeah. Okay.
So
we'll have to join.
I loved it. Mm-hmm. It was great, but it was quite different from the other books.
Okay. All right.
And at the end, you're just like, no, don't do it. But anyway, you'll get there.
Yeah.
So that one's coming. Skin, I read a book called Skin by Ilka Tamke, who is an Australian author.
Yeah.
But this is about pre-Roman Britain, the the tribes in Britain that are around sort of the turn of, like, you know, around the birth of Christ time, and what happened when the Romans were coming, basically. So this, in this particular story, the tribe's totem, or the people's sort of, there's different totems of, that people can have, and it's called skin. So you can be like salmon skin. I can't remember what the terminology is in the book, but you can either be a salmon, deer, dog, or, you know, there's different animals you associate with as your totem, kind of thing.
Yep.
And if you're, if, like, you don't have,
like, your spirit totem type thing,
of like that, and it's called skin just because it's the sort of fabric that holds the world together and people to the world, and the place you live is, you know, you can, if you've got, when you have skin, you can be, you can become learned, you can become a druid, basically, except they're not called druids. I can't remember what they're called, but basically learned people. And the mothers are the sort of gods of the place, so you can travel to their realm and learn from them.
Yep.
These, like, it's like the fae. No, it's the it's druids. It's like you know, the ancient Celts kind of thing.
Oh, okay, babe.
So this girl Aelia, who's not skinned, she's a foundling. Like, she, they don't know who her parents are, and she works in the kitchen of the tribe queen in this place, which is actually a real place. Actually, the hill fort that they live is in a place in Somerset that is now just a bank and ditch kind of, you know, plate. They know there's an ancient settlement there, but they, you know, there's nothing there now. And so it's her journey toward learning and discovering that you don't have to have skin in order to do this, but that goes against all the teachings of the tribe and everything. Yep. So it's coming of age, basically. She's like 16 years old. And there's a bit of romance in there. There's some grisly kind of war stuff. Like, the Romans were really kind of brutal in their invasions, so that's pretty nasty. I mean, you know, there's not going to be a happy ending in this kind of book, because they did invade Britain. But yeah, it was really really good. I had trouble putting it down. I only read it in a couple of days, so
that's like a fairly decent sized book too.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think the writing's pretty, it's average sized.
Okay.
It's like 400 pages or something. Yep. So yeah, I enjoyed that one. I got from Text Publishing. Thank you very much. I am going to publish a review of that probably maybe tonight. I don't know. I keep having to work in the evenings, don't ask. What else did I read? I picked up a shorty called Emma and Elsie Meet Fitzwilliam Darcy. And it's only 120 pages, maybe a bit more than that.
It's a cross between two Jane Austen books, yeah?
Yep, it's what would happen. It's by Maddie Raven and Monica Lionel, by the way, who Monica Lionel writes other YA fiction. I read one of hers, called Social Punk, I think it was called. And I really enjoyed that, so I thought I'd give this one a go. Maddie Raven writes like new adult erotica.
Okay.
So it's a bit like a cross between.
Really interesting.
What would happen if Emma and Elizabeth Bennet were best friends in modern day?
Yep.
In the south, in like Louisiana.
Okay.
So basically, they're in their little town for the summer before they go to college, and Bingley and Darcy are guys who come to visit. There's like a wedding. Emma's at. Annabelle. I haven't read Emma, so I don't recognise the characters that well.
It's been so long since I've read it. I can't.
Anyway, all the characters are there that in the books. Yeah. And they meet up, and there's a lot of like a really great tension, like sexual tension. Basically, that Jane and Bingley end up having this one night stand. It's like the books, but it's modern. It's great. I really enjoyed it. At the start, I was sort of thinking, oh my God, where is this going?
Yeah.
It's a little bit twee. But but by the end, I was like, wow, this is really good stuff. So there's going to be a few more of them. And this first one is actually, I think it's on pre-order on Amazon. It's coming out on the 7th of March, I think.
Yep.
It's on Amazon. It's only like 70 cents or something.
So it's cheap as.
So it's worth it picking up. It's only short. And the other ones are going to be coming out later in March, I think. So, yeah, check it out. I enjoyed that one. And currently I'm reading Akane by Lynette Noni.
Oh, I've got this book too.
Yes.
To read.
I think it's supposed to be middle grade, but it's kind of like older middle grade.
Oh, I thought young it was YA. Okay, because yeah, it wasn't in the children's section of NetGalley. It was in the...
Oh, was it?
It was in the YA section.
Well, it is about like a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
But it reads like a children's book.
Okay.
It's quite young. And stop me if it sounds familiar, but this girl goes through a magic door at a boarding school and ends up in another realm where there is another boarding school for gifted people, for like magic basically. And there's professors and... There's a baddie who's out to get them, but
see, this is why it sounded kind of interesting to me.
It is, but it's very. I didn't want to say it, but it's very Harry Potter.
Okay.
It's like she's got these two friends who are guys who she meets, and then instantly they're all best friends, and everyone's really lovely to her, and she's a bit of a Mary Sue. I hate saying that because I hate that term, but she's really. She has, it's all a bit two-dimensional. But anyway, if you're going to read it as well, then maybe we'll discuss it a bit further when you've read it. But okay. I'm enjoying it because I'm interested in the story. Like, it is, the place where the school is, it's got like this library which is sentient. Yep. And it's got all these like secret passages that take her different places. And it's like, it's interesting. So it sounds really like interesting. Hogwarts. Yeah, it's...
Okay.
I'm just reading it. After all the recent stuff we've been talking about, Harry Potter and everything, I'm just reading it going, are you serious? Like, this is really similar.
But anyway, so it's similar but not unique enough for it to feel like
a stand. I don't know. I'm about 60% at the moment, I think. So I'll see how I like it by the end.
Okay.
And we'll see what you think. But
all right.
At the moment, I'm reserving my opinion, okay. I think.
So what are you reading next?
Well, I've got a couple... I've got loads lined up, but I think I'm going to read next. Avery by Charlotte McConaghy, which is I think it's a dystopian YA where people... I can't remember the actual premise of it now, but a lot of people have said it's really great, but also very sad. So I'll see how that goes.
And you've still got A Dance with Dragons.
I do.
Your time's coming up if you want to have it read before.
That's why it's still on my list. I actually had it on my Kindle the other day when I finished another book on the train. And I read like halfway through the prologue and I just went, I don't know if I'm ready for this.
Yeah, you've got to be in the right mood for that.
So yeah, I'll try and read it soon, but yeah, we'll see. How about you? What have you got next?
Okay, so I've just started Seeker by Arwen Elise Dayton, which I thought sounded really interesting. I made a huge mistake. I went onto Goodreads just recently. And because it's just come out, I'm behind now officially on my review books. Yep. It's already come out and there's a whole lot of reviews that are going up and it's going down. Lots of do not finishes. So I'm trying to block that out. I don't want it to in any way impact my thoughts on it. Yep. But I have to admit it's been a bit slow going for the beginning. Mm-hmm. We will see. And then coming up, I've got to read Ferris by Marissa Meyer, which I'm super keen on reading.
Mm-hmm.
I've got A Wicked Thing by Rhiannon Thomas, which is a Sleeping Beauty retelling. So I'm kind of keen to read that. That came out on the 24th of Feb, so that's another one that I'm behind on. And then I'll try and get Shadow Scale by Rachel Hartman also read, so we can joint review that by our next podcast,
sure,
which hopefully will be in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Put a lot on.
That's right.
Kid stuff you wanted to mention?
I haven't really been reading.
Oh, you gotta go. Okay.
Caitlin and I have been making up stories where each of us do a sentence, basically.
Oh,
so
wow.
She does a sentence, I do a sentence. She does a sentence, I do a sentence.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, she loves it, except now every night she's like, can we do a story? And I'm like, oh, God. Because her story is always the same. A monster's coming. And every time I revert it away from the monster, another monster comes.
Wow.
No, a different monster comes.
You like to start recording them, so you
can. I do have to, yeah. To reel books for her and give it to her on her 21st. Your very first stories.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we've got a couple of things to mention. I did notice that the text prize for YA and children's writing is now open. I think it closes on the beginning of April. So if you want to submit a story or manuscript, you go to the textpublishing.com.au website and you can win $10,000.
Okay.
And a lot of the previous text prizes books have gone on to become really successful and get land publishing deals and whatever for other
people. Wasn't The Rosie Project one of these?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, which is just a brilliant book if you're up for a non-YA type book.
Yeah, so if you've got like a YA manuscript sitting around that you wrote back in NaNoWriMo or something, get that in. And also the Aurea Alice Awards for 2014, which is the Australian Speculative Fiction Awards, has been the nominees have been announced now, and there's they'll be actually like the winners will be announced in April, but there's quite a few interesting books that we've read on the list this year.
I'm really surprised. I loved Afterworlds by Scott Westerfeld, but I wouldn't have actually thought that it would be one that would potentially make it into an awards.
Really,
it's well written, but
like really great sort of.
I really enjoyed it, but it's. For all that it is speculative fiction, it's kind of also a contemporary, depending on which angle you want to, you know, about a young writer's journey, you know, coming of age journey, moving to New York, getting a published author. Yeah. Just happens to be that the book she writes is a speculative fiction. So,
well, it's listed as best fantasy and best YA. So it's kind of like both of that anyway. Yeah. And Daughters of the Storm by Kim Wilkins is another one on the list that I really enjoyed
last year. And you've read The Shattered World
by Amy Kaufman and Megan Spooner.
One day I'm getting to that series. I desperately want to read it.
It's really worth it. It's very good.
Maybe I'll have to wait till book three comes out and I'll get them all done and dusted.
And what else have we got here? Clarial by Garth Nix. I'm actually a bit surprised about that because, I mean, it was a pretty good story. There were a lot of sort of Sabriel fans that didn't really like it that much.
Okay.
So, anyway, it's
up there. Part of me wonders, when they're well-known Australian authors, if their books get nominated they're well-known Australian authors.
How much of a popularity contest is it?
Yeah, and let's not get into the politics, but that was just putting it out there.
But anyway, if you're interested in seeing what the other nominees were, then we'll link there. It's aurealisawards.org is the website.
Yeah.
I'll put a link on the notes anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to mention that I've discovered a new podcast again.
I'm so proud of you for being able to read all, like, listen to this and read all of this. See, I can't do that at work.
It's hard. I can't do it other times. It's just, you can't do it. But anyway, this one's called Witch Please. It's about Harry Potter and these two ladies who are in Canada. They're academics in the Department of English in the University of Alberta. So they're, you know, well-versed in literature and kind of, you know, analysing literature and stuff.
They have a bit more of a professional background in comparison to myself and Angela.
Yeah. So what they're doing is they're rereading each of the Harry Potter books and watching the films. And as they do it, they're recording a podcast about it. And the first episode is the only one up at the moment. So they've just talked about book one. And they love their fans, by the way. They're not, like, really, you know, but very scathing. But not
snobbery. Yes.
And they also talk about pedagogy, I can't pronounce that word, like, you know, basically how the children are being treated in the school and whatever.
Okay.
And the methods of teaching and it's really interesting. And they're so funny. They just laugh the whole way through it. It's really worth listening to.
I wonder if I could listen to that while I'm putting Caitlin to sleep, if she'd listen along with me.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Or you could just stick an earphone in and...
If only I had something in the car when I was... Because my other half's about to go to Canada, ironically, for 2 weeks skiing. So I'm solo parenting. And my youngest daughter just wants daddy to put her to bed, which I discovered this weekend. Mm. So at like 9:30 at night, after 2 hours of attempting to put her to sleep, I took him for a drive. So it would have been great if I could listen to something like this in the car. Yeah. I have to see if I can sort that out.
You can download it on your phone. Like,
and then just listen,
Speaking of podcasts, I should mention, on my phone I've got an app that it's called Dog Catcher.
Okay.
Okay, so what Dog Catcher basically does is you subscribe to a number of different feeds of podcasts.
Yep.
And it will, when there's a new episode, it downloads it for you. And then you just listen to it on your phone. It's the same as iTunes.
Okay.
Actually, what am I talking about? Of course there's something that does it on iPhone. It's the iTunes. Idiots. Yeah, in iTunes you can subscribe to our our podcast in iTunes if you want to. We've got a page. It's linked from our website.
We're not normally this stupid.
Oh, my God. I really need another coffee. Anyway. Yep. So yeah, when you get in, you just do it on your phone. And
there we go. To it. But I would like to have it come through the car speakers. That's the more complicated setup.
Well, you can do that with Bluetooth and blah, blah, blah. That's another
okay. Thing. I will have to do some geeky investigation.
Okay. I haven't used iPhone for a really long time, so that's an excuse.
That's all right.
So, this week on the blog, there has hardly been any reviews.
I'm so sorry.
It's not just me. It's them.
Yeah. Angela has been carrying us. I'm sorry. Natasha is, are we allowed to say? Our fellow blogger is expecting, and she's not just expecting normally, she's expecting twins, identical twins.
Yes,
so
and she's been really ill. So
she's been really ill and tired.
Good, extremely good excuse
she does.
For not writing any.
I remember I watched MasterChef. That was all I could cope with when I was early days pregnant. So
yeah, so hope, well, she's going to try and, she said she'd try and write some before, like she's not expecting to be able to do anything after the twins arrive, but
yeah,
she's going to try and do some before that. But we do have a top 10 this week, which was our favourite books from the last 3 years. So,
which I swear we've done so many things like this, but that's a side issue. Sorry.
Top 10 does seem to be a little bit repetitive from time to time. But anyway, that's worth seeing. If you want to read that, then go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like to send us any feedback or suggestions for things to talk about, you can do that by emailing us at contact@teaandthetreetops.com, or you can tweet us at teatreetops.
Of course, you can also find a list of all the books and other things we've talked about in this episode, as well as all of our book reviews at the Tea in the Treetops blog, teaimatreetops.com. Thanks so much for listening.
Yep, and we'll catch you again in a couple of weeks' time. Bye.
Bye.